Good afternoon, everyone. Go ahead and open your Bibles to the book of Psalms. We are in Psalm 118. Psalm 118. Can you turn off? Good. Okay. While you're turning to Psalm 118, just want to praise God that this is my fourth son's first Sunday here at church. His name is Kosuke Isaac Habakon, and his nickname, my wife calls him Ko-chan. I like Isaac, but I think Kon-kon is pretty good too, so... Our third son is Kankan, and so Kon-kon sounds good. So I haven't decided yet. You pick the one you like. Okay, Kon-kon, Ko-chan, Isaac. It's all good. And see which one sticks. So, all right, we're in Psalm 118, and we'll start from verse 15 and go to verse 24. I think that's where I ended it. Is that right, Tako-san? 24. Yeah. It's a long psalm, and so because of time, we'll not cover all of it. Hopefully, we'll get to the heart of it today. I'll read from verse 15, and it goes to 19. Please join me at verse 20, and we'll go together from 20 to 24. Let's read the word of God. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done many mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. Let's read together. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice and be glad. The very words of God. Amen. So, if you hold up your hand three fingers, like this or like this or like this, whatever, you can see one letter three times. The letter V, right? There's V, V, and V three times. And there's three V's in our text. Actually, in the whole psalm. Psalm 118, from verse 1 all the way to the end. The first V is victory. V for victory. The second V is vindication. And the third V is validation. Victory, vindication, and validation. Today, I can't cover all three, but just so you know, throughout all of the psalm, all three things are from God. God gives us the victory. God is the one who vindicates us and our cause. And God is the one who validates our lives. What does that mean? I don't want to get too into it. Today I'll be preaching on vindication, but I can't go without talking about victory because we read about it in verse 15. And actually, if you have your own Bibles or you have your own Bible app or you're opening up in your own Pew Bible, you'll see it there in verse 14. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. You know where that's from? That's from the Red Cross, not the Red Cross, the Red Sea song. Do you remember in your Bible, in the book of Exodus, when Israel was being chased by the army of Egypt, and they came to the Red Sea, and God opened the sea, just like he opened up this aisle between this side and this side, and the Israelites walked right through. And as the army of Egypt came running after them in their horses and in chariots, when the last Israelite walked across on dry ground, that's when the waters came down. And they sang this song, "The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation." What's he saying? The Lord is my victory. And just like God taking his people through the danger, out into safety, away from the enemy, Jesus, our greater and true Moses, has led us out of slavery, through the danger, and into freedom. He has won for us the victory. And then one more, in verse 15, which is what we read. You can see there, shouts of joy and victory resound in where? In where? The tents of the righteous. You know where that comes from? The tents? That comes from David in his first victory when he came against the giant, Goliath, and he took the stone from the river, put it in his sling, wound it up, and like a bullet, went directly between his eyes, right into his head, and the giant fell crashing down. And everybody stood back and, what happened? The army of Israel and the army of the Philistines were in shock, and David, the boy, ran up to the giant, fallen on the ground. He took the giant's sword, whack, cut off his head, held up his head, and the tents of the armies of Jerusalem, of Israel, rejoiced because David had won the victory for the kingdom. And just like David, our greater and true David, Jesus Christ, has won the victory for us. He has slain our great enemy, sin, Satan, and hell, and won for us by his one act on the cross, our great victory over sin, Satan, and hell. Victory is from God. But not just victory, but validation. That's at the end of the psalm. Where do I get that? Look at verse 27. It's not up there. It's not in your bulletin. It's in your Bible. And in verse 27, it says, "The Lord is God. He has made his light shine on us." It means that God looks at his people, and he loves his people. And when he says he shines his light on you, he says he looks at you and he says, "You are worth shining my light on. You are not an accident. You are not floating through life as something to just go through. But I give importance and meaning and validation to your life." It comes from God when he shines his light upon us. I just need to share that with somebody here who has gone through this week, maybe through this month, maybe through this season, and they felt defeated. And you think, where is the victory in my life? You need to know, 2,000 years ago, your victory was won for you. And you don't fight for victory. You fight from the victory. And that makes the complete difference when you're fighting. One is fighting with anxiousness and in fear. The other fights with joy. and with purpose and with gratitude. You fight from the victory. And some of us here have gone through a season where we felt inadequate, we don't feel equipped, we don't know if we have what it takes to do what we've been called to do. We feel we don't have the resources, we don't have enough, and we feel weak, and we feel that people around us, maybe the work or family, says, you're not worth it, you haven't done anything. Who do you think you are? And it says right there, God has caused his light to shine on me through his son, Jesus. And if God has validated my life, then I don't need anybody else to tell me that I'm worth it if God has done it for me. Okay, I got ahead of myself. Let's get to our text. The heart of our passage today is the cornerstone text. This is Psalm 118, verse 22. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Hallelujah. This is a psalm that has been referenced many times by Jesus himself. Why are we in this today? You see, I don't pick our psalms, the ones we're studying this year, by random. In fact, I don't pick them at all. Pastor Hiroshi is the one who picks them. And Pastor Hiroshi preached this psalm last week, and I'm just catching up with him. If you here are Japanese, or if you are fluent in Japanese, if you can understand Japanese well, この箇所は、イエス様はよく引用されたものです。If you understood that sentence, then I recommend you go onto the Mitaki Green Chapel website, mitakigc.com. And on there you'll find all of the sermons from the English service and the Japanese service. But for those who are fluent in Japanese, I recommend that you listen or even watch Pastor Hiroshi's sermon on this text. It's absolutely brilliant, wonderful. I've listened to it twice already, and Nahomi, I think, has listened a couple times as well. It will do you well. But I'm not going to try to reproduce it. That would be crazy. It's too good, and I don't preach that well. So I'm just going to do it my own way. Sorry about that. So, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Jesus says this about himself. We have to get right to it. In Matthew, in Mark, and in Luke, Jesus says, that cornerstone is me. And then the head disciple, the first in rank, Peter, he took the teaching from Jesus and said, that's right. And Peter also references this same psalm in Acts chapter 4 and in 1 Peter chapter 2. And he says, when you read this psalm, and you get to this part where it talks about the rejected stone becoming the cornerstone, the foundation, you need to understand who that is. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. But first, what is the cornerstone? Before we get to who, we need to understand what. The cornerstone, as many of you can understand, is simply the foundation. We're talking about ancient buildings. Okay? Ancient architecture, and the way that they would build it is they would take a stone and cut it so perfectly and cut it so right so that it could be the corner. And from that one corner, they can build one wall and they could build the other wall. And then they could build the other two walls. So if that stone was square, the rest of the building would be square. If that stone was rectangular, the building itself would be rectangular. If the stone itself was a little bit off and it wasn't 100% 90 degrees, the building would be off. The cornerstone was the most important stone in the building. If it was not correct, the whole building itself would be incorrect. That's how important it was. And so when the builders would find their stones, they would cut it, And they wouldn't just make one stone, but they would make a few. And so they would then compare each stone to each other, and they would choose the best one. And they would say, that's what we'll use to build the whole of our building. And then it says here, but the one they rejected had in fact become the cornerstone. What does that mean? Who are the builders? What's the building? Well, we're in the book of Psalms, and in the book of Psalms, you can take it doesn't give us the entire meaning. If you read the whole psalm, it doesn't say this is the cornerstone and this is the building and these are the it doesn't say that. So it's not too important. We can guess, maybe it means when the Israelites came back to Jerusalem after having been defeated, and they were in exile after for 70 years in Babylon, they came back, they rededicated the temple, and this is that song that they sung to commemorate it. And they were saying that when we go into this temple, we've reset it, we've rebuilt it, and the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. Who is that? That is Israel. And they're saying that Israel was the stone that the world rejected. But in fact, they're asking God, oh God, if you could look upon us once more. Oh God, if you could make us victorious once more. Though the world rejects us, we could be the cornerstone through which you will bless the world. And they're praying that. And that's the perspective that Pastor Hiroshi preached on last week. Another idea is from a great preacher, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He said, what I would think is there was some great political leader in Israel, and he was for some reason rejected by the leadership of Israel, and through some providence of God was able to be restored to leadership. And this was his song, that though he was rejected by the leadership of Israel, God in fact chose him and put him right there where he belonged. That could be it. But those are just some things I need to give to you so that you understand what the text is. Now Jesus says, that's fine. Whatever you want to go with, that's okay, but you need to understand whether it's the nation of Israel, whether it's some leader in Israel, all of this comes to me. And Jesus himself, just take one from Matthew chapter 21 and in verse 42. Jesus tells this story of an owner of a vineyard. The owner lives far away from the vineyard. So what he does is he sets some tenants to take care of the vineyard. They're called the tenants. And so to make sure that they're doing their job, he would send his servants to report on how the tenants were doing, and the tenants would beat the servants of the owner. And so the owner would send another servant, and they would beat them. And some they would even kill. And so finally the owner says, okay, I'm going to send my own son. I'm going to send my son, and surely they would respect him. Surely they would honor him. At least they shouldn't kill him. He's my son. So he sends his son to the vineyard, and the tenants say, oh, it's the son. Finally, we can get rid of him. We'll get rid of the owner. And so they kill the son of the owner. And then Jesus says, that's me. All of you who are the leaders of Israel, you're the priests, you're the Pharisees, you're the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, you're the leadership, you reject me. But the stone that the builders reject will in fact be the cornerstone. What is he saying here? What is he saying? He's saying this very important thing. Church people, pastors, Bible study leaders, theologians, seminary professors, deacons, elders, church folks, be careful. Be careful of who you reject, because they rejected me, and I'm the one they were supposed to build the house on. They rejected Jesus. Now, here's the thing. I'm speaking to a church, and in this church, we've got two kinds of people. We've got one, the sinners, the ones who know, God, I'm a failure. I need you. That's why I'm here. I came because I know I need forgiveness. I know that without you, my life is meaningless. And I come to you for salvation. And Jesus says, no problem. You've come to the right place. I didn't come for the righteous. I came for the sinner. It's not the healthy who need the sick. It's the healthy who need the doctor, but it's the sick who need the doctor. Now, the second kind of person is very difficult to reach. There's the sinner, and then there's the self-righteous. And the self-righteous is the one who thinks, I believe the right things. And because I believe the right things, I do the right things. And because I do the right things, I'm the right person. And so God loves me. And we need to be careful of that, because that's what the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the teachers of the law. That's what they thought. Are you catching what I'm throwing out there? Okay. Sinners repent of their sin. The righteous have to repent too. If sinners repent of their sin, the righteous have to repent of their self-righteousness. Now, how do I know that I'm a self-righteous person? It's when I think I don't have to repent. It's when I think I'm better than somebody else because I believe the right things. It's when I think, poor you, look at you, you Buddhist, you Hindu, you Muslim. How sad for you. Because I'm loved by God and not you. You better be careful. Because Jesus says, you're rejecting me if you believe that. Yeah, I'm a dad. I have four sons. Actually, I don't have four sons. I like to say I have two sons, and then I have two sons. Because if I say I have four sons, that's just too crazy. But yeah, I'm a dad. Okay. And I, if I look at other people, I look at, you know, single people, and I say, ah, the single. That's nice, you're single. But you're not like me. I'm a dad. What kind of attitude is that? Or if I look at the married people, I said, oh, look at you, you get married. How many kids you have? Oh, two? That's nice. That's good, good for you. Oh, three? Oh, that's good. Yeah, I have four. That's terrible. That's the wrong kind of attitude. Because everybody knows, whether you're single, whether you're married, whether you got one kid or 10, we're all in the same boat. We need Jesus. Period. There's nobody looking down on anybody. That's how you know you're repenting. That's how you know you've taken Jesus. Is you're not looking at anybody for who they are or what they've done, because you know you're just like them. If you've come here and you've been here a while and you realize that everybody in here, though we're singing songs and it's hallelujah and it's testimonies, you realize these people are a bunch of hypocrites. I need you to hear me. Welcome home. Welcome. You belong with us, because that's what we all are. We are just sinners in need of grace. Some of us, we need to repent of our sin, and some of us, we need to repent of our self-righteousness, because if we don't, we're rejecting Him who is the cornerstone. Now, before I get too heavy with that, this is a happy psalm, okay? This is a good psalm. This is a psalm of victory, validation, and vindication. This is a rejoicing psalm. Did you know, by the way, Jesus loved singing this song. Jesus actually grew up singing this. This is Psalm 118 is a song that is part of a set starting at 113. There's six songs, 113, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. Those are known as the Hallel songs, or the Egyptian Hallel songs, meaning these were sung during the Passover season. Passover was, in Egypt, when they would kill the Lamb of God. And they would put the blood on their door, and the angel of death passed over them. And that was something that commemorated their salvation. And in the same way, Jesus is the Lamb of God. His blood covers our sins. So, Jesus would grow up singing this every year during the Passover season, which is what? Easter. And so Jesus, he's coming up on his final Passover season. And they've sung Psalm 113, they've sung 114, 15, 16, and they've sung 118. And one commenter said it so beautifully, and I just agree with him. He comes to verse, 20, which we read today. Let's go with verse 17. I will not die, but live, and proclaim what the Lord has done. Verse 18, the Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Can you picture Jesus with his disciples at the Last Supper? He's about to be given over to death, not for his sin, but for ours. And he's singing these songs knowing that he's about to go to his death. And the commenter said, what a comfort it must have been to our Lord to read this knowing that God will not give him over to death, but he will live and will give him the vindication. My friends, I always preach the crucifixion, but today let me preach the resurrection. Let me preach the resurrection. Let me preach Jesus, having died and buried on the third day, rose from the grave. And in that, vindicated his life, his teaching, and all who would follow his life and his teaching, and all who would believe in his death and his resurrection. I talk about the resurrection. There's a man named Chuck Colson. For those of you youngsters, he was a political figure. And he was up in the leadership of America. Well, he was involved in a terrible scandal. It's known as the Watergate scandal. And he was put into prison for having violated the law. And while in prison, somebody gave him Jesus Christ and the gospel. And he believed it. And he was forgiven of his sins. And what he did was he quit politics. He never sought to get political office, but instead he wanted to be a preacher. So he went from a politician to a prisoner, now a preacher of the gospel because of Jesus Christ. And so he becomes to preach. He gets out of prison and he's preaching. And one day he finds himself in India preaching to thousands of Hindus. And he says that when he's preaching to the Hindus, they're listening to him. They're smiling. Their faces are bright. And they're not, yes. Oh, you speak of Jesus, a wonderful teacher. Oh, he's a good guru. That's good for you. He helps you. He leads you. He comforts you. He helps you have a good life. That's good for you to have a guru like Jesus. And then he said, at one point during his message, they stopped smiling. They stopped nodding their heads. There was no more brightness in their faces. That's when he started talking about the resurrection. The literal, physical, historical resurrection of Christ, spoken of in Psalm 118. That he would not be given over to death, but he would in fact live. Jesus is not dead. The grave is empty. But it wasn't a symbolic or a metaphorical resurrection. Jesus, when he came to his disciples, he said, look, I'm not a ghost. I'm not a ghost. I'm not floating around and you can see through me and, you know. Look, come, look at my hands. And you know what Jesus did? He stood on one leg and he showed him his feet. He said, look at my feet. I'm not a ghost. You got fish? I love fish. And they brought him some fish. It wasn't sushi, but it was fish. And he said, look, does a ghost eat? No, because it was a literal, physical, historical resurrection. And it is that resurrection, my friends, that we preach, that we live. Because if there is no resurrection, if there is no cornerstone, if there is no resurrection, there is no cornerstone. If there is no resurrection, all of this right here, this is just therapy. This is just religious, psychological, I feel good, morality, right? Let's just make each other feel good if there's no resurrection. But we preach the resurrection of the dead because of Jesus Christ who rose from the dead. And not just rose from the dead, but ascended to the Father and sits at the right hand of the Father. He said after he rose from the dead, he said, all authority in heaven, in earth has been given to me. He said, now go, preach, teach, baptize, make disciples. He says, I'm with you. He says, I don't have to be with you physically right here because I'm in you spiritually. That's a real thing. And the power that we have to live and to love and forgive and to keep going is real spiritual power that gives life to our physical bodies. Where am I coming from? I'm coming from Romans chapter 8. He says, if he would give his son resurrection from the dead, will not his own spirit give life to your mortal bodies? Spiritual, giving life to the physical. That is salvation because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I need to preach that today. My friend, that's vindication. That when Jesus, when everybody says, no, 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 this is not what it is, that's not what it's about, you're wrong, the resurrection says, no, 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 no. He was right. He was right. It's a happy thing. Okay, so I don't know if this story means anything, but I'll just say it anyways. Many of you know I ride a motorcycle to work, and I didn't come to Japan with a motorcycle's license. I had to get it here. I had to go to motorcycle school. I had to take the lessons and take the tests and all that. Terrible. It's about $3,000 US. Now, I didn't just go to any school. I actually went to Hiroshima-ken Jidosha Gakko, Hiroshima Prefectural Driving School. I walk in, I say, I would like to get a driver's license. And they say, yeah, write your name. I write my name. I'm not Japanese. They say, look, what's this? This is katakana. You're not Japanese? No. Oh, I'm sorry. We can't give you a license. Excuse me? Yeah, if you get in trouble, we'll be responsible. Okay, all right, fine. I walk out. I go to another Jidosha Gakko, another driving school, just down the street. I sit down, and I do the same thing. And this time, they look at me, and they say, just a moment. They go to the back of the room, and I could hear them talking to the boss. And all of a sudden, I hear this, huh? This, but not like me, like an old guy, huh? You know, one of those. And this old guy comes out, this oji-san. He comes out, he looks at me. And he gets a textbook. Throws it in front of me, says, Yomiyasai, read it. I look, I say, I'm sorry, I can't read it, but I'll study every day. I have 1 month free. I'm going to study as hard as I can to read this and pass the test. Omae wa mou dame yo. Muri desu. Akirame nasai. Just give up. This is not going to work for you. We can't accept you. You're a foreigner. I don't know if you're like me, but if somebody tells you you can't do something, oh, that's when it's on. So I'm about to give up. My friend Kazu is with me. I said, Kazu, what should we do? He says, I don't know. There's one more place we can maybe go. It's all the way across the town. We take a bus, get on the train, blah, 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 blah. I really want this motorcycle. Let's do it. We go. The textbook is in Japanese, but there's furigana, which has the hiragana on there. They say, all right, well, you have the money? I say, I have the money. Okay, we'll take your money. We can't guarantee you'll pass. So I give them the money. They give me all the stuff. I go. I take the bus. I'm in there 10 hours a day studying Japanese. Okay? Not regular Japanese. Yeah. Okay. Like driving Japanese, road Japanese, okay? And studying, I go through the test. It's the whole long story. Fail, I take it again, blah, 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 blah. I pass, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I get my license, okay? I got my license. Then, a month later, I get my motorcycle. Now, where do you think I went after that? All right, so I get on the motorcycle. I drive to Hiroshima Ken Jidosha Gakko. I didn't go in. Okay, but I'm here, I'm looking, I'm driving by, and I'm like, yeah! And I was looking for that old guy who looked at me. I couldn't find him. Long story, long way to go. Vindication. Tell me I can't do something and watch what happens. The world says you're a sinner and you're going to be washed up. Satan speaks in your ear and says, you'll never be good enough for God. Your life is meaningless. Your own self is speaking to you saying, what, are you joking? Read the Bible, pray, be a Christian? You've got to be kidding me. That's not you. That's not who you were. You were never brought up to be that way. Jesus says, no. I'm here to vindicate you. I'm here to tell the world, I'm here to tell Satan, I'm even here to tell yourself, you're wrong. And here's the thing, I got my license because of what I did. I get my salvation because of what Jesus did. I suffered through the tests and failing and all that. Jesus suffered in 6 hours something I could never repay in all of eternity. He paid all of my price. He took all of my tests. He passed it all for me. He vindicated my life. And he offers that to all of us. Amen? And he says, let me do it for you. I'm happy to do it for you. And the words of this psalm, the words of 118, all the praise, all the hallelujah, all the glory to God, all the resurrection, all the power, all the honor, all the praise, it's going to come from your heart. It's going to be a joyful, meaningful thing for you. It's not something you'll yawn through. But it's something you'll shout to the north, sing to the east and the west. Jesus has saved me and set me free. He's vindicated my life. It's going to be in you. It's not therapy. It's not a feel-good fuzzy. It's reality based on the stone on the head of the corner, the cornerstone.